This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. We're very happy to have on today's program Dr. Robert Gare of Edinburgh, Scotland, editor of the Mankind Quarterly, an international quarterly journal published in Edinburgh. Dr. Gare is formerly a professor of anthropology and head of the postgraduate department of anthropogeography at the University of Sagar in India. During World War II, he served as educational advisor to the Allied military government in Italy and directed the denazification of the Italian educational system. He's the author of numerous publications and texts on the field of anthropology and other treatises on the subject of race, and a recognized authority on all phases of the racial problem. Dr. Gare, I'd like to welcome you to the program today. And also we have Mr. Carlton Putnam, author of the bestseller Race and Reason, A Yankee View. Mr. Putnam, an attorney, business leader, and best-selling author, has been on the program before, and we're very happy to welcome you back again, Mr. Putnam.
Thank you, Dick. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Gare, you have, before coming to the United States on this tour, have been in the Republic of South Africa, and you've been exposed to some of the problems which they have had in communicating their true story to the rest of the world. What have you found in regards to the press coverage of the South African racial situation?
Well, on the whole, I have found, so far as the English-speaking press of South Africa is concerned, that it is definitely hostile and does not give a fair coverage. And in my own case, I was met with a considerable amount of abuse from one or two papers which came out with headlines saying that I was a fascist geneticist and so on before they'd even heard what I was going to say at the South African Genetics Congress. And they went further than that and named in one case that Professor Hurst of the Witwatersrand University was boycotting the Congress because I was present. But in point of fact, Professor Hurst came to the Congress and was photographed side by side with me in the group photograph as well as in the press photograph.
And from your conversations with people in South Africa, is this something typical or is this a unique case?
No, it is a general. It is generally the case that the editors seem to have a preconceived policy, which is to play down the point of view that might be expressed contrary to what might be called a so-called liberal policy.
Mr. Putnam, how does this compare with your experiences with the press in this country?
Well, I think our press confirms the situation here. I think the American people, as well as the, well, as all of the world, those who are interested in the truth, have got to study the details to some extent for themselves. I see no other solution, because we have a positive, a dogma here which is being put forward as propaganda to such an extent that it's almost impossible for the other side, our side, to crack it. Now, one example of that, which has just occurred recently to me, has to do with the Christian Science Monitor, which is a highly respected American newspaper. An editorial was published attacking an interpretation which I had placed upon a certain book of a prominent scientist which had been written. It was called Humbug by the Christian Science Monitor. I answered with a letter which they were kind enough to publish, minus one of the most important paragraphs. I then wrote back and called attention to the fact that they had taken the most important paragraph out of my reply, and they refused to publish that letter. In other words, up to a point, the newspapers in this country will take some of your material. I'm afraid it's simply because they want to give the appearance of being fair. But when it comes to the very final and essential substance of your response to the equalitarian scientist, they then clamp down. The particular point which I had in mind, and which I think is of vital importance in this whole matter, has to do with the limitations of culture in changing the racial differences which at present exist. The equalitarian scientist today will constantly make the point that environment and culture change everything, as between the animal who may have evolved up to a point and another animal who may not. If we present evidence to the effect that there was an evolutionary retardation of the Negro behind the white race, the equalitarian and the Christian Science Monitor will make the point that that is can be caught up and changed completely by contact between the two races. The Negro race, by contact with the white race, will be expedited on his evolutionary pathway to the point where he becomes equal to the white man almost instantaneously. This overlooks the fact that the differences in the two races is not purely a matter of having had this experience in past years, more experience in dealing with the Ice Age, as Dr. Gehr pointed out in a recent speech, more foresight developed because of that experience, but that that experience has changed the structure of the brain itself, has changed the calcification of the frontal lobes, has changed their size, has changed the thickness of the supragranular layer, that those things are hereditary, and that no amount of contact can change that any more than my sitting next to Einstein at dinner could make me able to discover the theory of relativity.
There are three points here which disprove that the point of view which you are now criticizing. First of all, identical twin studies, which show that even when identical twins are separated and brought up in different environments, there is a clear relationship between the intelligence tests of these twins. The second thing that supports this point of view that I'm now propounding is the study of children in foster homes, because if the social environment is going to change the racial type or the hereditary type, then when children are put into a foster home at an early age and brought up in that home with the same education as the children of the home, you would expect them to have the same intelligence output. In point of fact, all studies that have been so far carried out show that despite that fact that they have had all the advantages of that home, their intelligence results are the same as or comparable with that of their own brothers and sisters who have not been put into that home. And they are different from the children of the home.
Precisely.
The third fundamental factor which destroys that position is that, after all, so far as man is concerned, in his racial groups, the speciation or the development of the racial group and its culture was preceded, first of all, by the development of the race. Then the race developed its own culture. The culture did not precede the creation of the race. And consequently, since the heredity precedes, in point of time, the development of culture and a social organization, it is reasonable to assume that heredity is the important factor and not the social organization and the effect of that upon mankind.
Dr. Gehr, we have found in this country that an entire generation of Americans has been indoctrinated with the equalitarian environmentalist school of thought on this question. Is this your experience in the rest of the world as well?
It is my experience so far as the Anglo-Saxon or English-speaking countries are concerned, and probably the Scandinavians. It is certainly not my experience as far as the Latin-speaking countries are concerned. In countries like Italy and so on, they are still firmly based upon the fundamental anthropological sciences as they have been interpreted, even in our own countries, till very recently. After all, this great changeover has to be dated roughly from 1939 to 1945. Prior to that, there were hardly any scientists, except a few like Dr. Boas, who would have boldly claimed that environment was the dominating factor and not heredity.
Have you ever known a case in history where we've had such persecution, such dogmatic propagandizing of one point of view as we have in this situation?
I think, yes, we have in the past, and that was when the astronomers and others came into conflict with the Church at the end of the Middle Ages. They conflicted with the existing doctrine, and they were proclaimed heretics. Galileo is a case in point. And I would say this egalitarian teaching of today is a doctrine. And yes, those who conflict with it are heretics. And that means not only those of us sitting around this table, but the majority of scientists who wrote books or made speeches up till 1939.
I noticed that they're constantly presenting objections to our point of view and never answering it.
No.
Well, now, Dr. Gehr, is there anything in your opinion that can be done by, for example, thoughtful persons in this country who are determined to get back to the facts on this situation? What can a person do to inform himself and to help inform others?
Well, I think, first of all, he should make a study of anthropology and heredity along the classical lines as they have been pioneered from Galton to Carl Pearson to Sir Arthur Keith, and even going further back if necessary, and founding themselves upon Charles Darwin. If they do these things, they cannot go wrong, because nearly all the modern doctrine is based upon the quite outdated doctrines of Lamarck of 150 years ago, furbished up mainly in left-wing schools of thought, dominated often by communism, hence, of course, the great output which was made some years ago by Lysenko in this direction in Moscow, and also, about that time, the marked decline of interest in Russia in the study of identical twins, because these studies were being found to be so damaging to the Marxist doctrine of equality.
Gentlemen, I'm going to have to interrupt right now. Our time has gone by very quickly, and I'll be looking forward to having you again in the near future. Our guests on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum have been Dr. Robert Gehr of Edinburgh, Scotland, and Mr. Carlton Putnam, attorney and author of the bestseller Race and Reason, A Yankee View. Join us again next week at the same time for another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.